صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أستغفر الله، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. I've come again, oh Allah, to knock on the door of your mercy in the remaining days of this blessed month. I don't see myself worthy to come again, but I see your greatness, your generosity, your grace and mercy, and I think maybe I can go again. Despite every opportunity you've given me, and I haven't taken it, and I haven't been respectful of your presence. Every time you brought me closer, I turned back and went to my bad ways. But I've come now, Ya Allah. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness, Ya Allah. If you don't forgive me, where can I go? Ya sahib al-zaman, ruhi fidak. look. You know how bad my status is. I'm sure you've received the reports every week. I'm ashamed. But what can I do? There have been times that I've wanted to change, but it's been so difficult. I've tried, but I've failed. Ya sahib al-zaman, if you can cure physical diseases, I'm sure you can cure spiritual ones. My heart needs a cure. My heart needs a miracle. My heart needs your touch. If you touch my heart, all the illnesses, all the filth will be removed. Ya sahib al-zaman, I ask you by the right of your mother, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, ruhi fida. We've heard you've said, inna li fibnat rasulillah uswa. You love your mother, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. You revere her so much, you've said that you take her as your role model. We love her, we cry for her. Every time we hear the story of the door in the street, we weep and shed tears. Every time we remember what they did to her in the streets of Medina, we weep. Every time we hear her call, Ya Fidlatu Khudini, we've cried. I'm sure there is value to those tears. They're gifted by your mother, by the right of those tears. I beg you, Ya Mawla, please forgive me and draw me nearer and nearer to yourself. I'd like to be with you, accompany you, see you, hear you, obey your command. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, one of the du'as of the month of Ramadan, especially on Laylatul Qadr, is the du'a of Allahumma kulli waliyyak. At the end of the dua, we say, حَتَّى تُسْكِنَهُ أَرْضَكَ طَوْعًا وَتُمَتَّعَهُ فِيهَا طَوِيلًا. We're praying for the coming of the Imam. Let's repeat that dua in our own spare time. The coming of the Imam is near. I just wish I would be more prepared. My heart and mind would be more prepared for the coming of the Imam. These are the nights to ask and beg Allah to guide us, to be near Him, to be with Him, inshallah. Allahumma inni أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظماء. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها، وهموم قد كشفتها، وعثرة قد أقلتها، ورحمة قد نشرتها، وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجة بي إليه عظيمة، وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي، وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي، وصفحك عن ظلمي، وسترك على قبيح عملي، وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي، أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجب منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك، وأريتني من قدرتك، وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي، لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا ربي إنك تدعوني فولي عنك، وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي، والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك، فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح، ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه، وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى، وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم، وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر، وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك، استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله، مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له، أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به، انصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجلوه وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللناها وعافية منك تلبسناها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has given us. And one and very important these days is the blessing of the month of Ramadan and the days that have passed, that He's blessed us with the ability to fast and inshallah try to remember Him and take advantage. And we ask Him for forgiveness for the shortcomings that we have had in these times and this great opportunity that He has given us. There's definitely more that we could have made use of and benefited, but we didn't, and we ask Him for forgiveness. And we ask Him, as we have in the du'as of the Ma'asumeen, Salamullah alayhim ajma'een, that if You have not forgiven us up to this point and this night of the month of Ramadan, we ask You, Ya Allah, to forgive us at this time and on this night, inshallah. One of the reminders that we find in the Qur'an, in the du'as of the Ahlul Bayt, in the words of the Ahlul Bayt Salamullah alayhim ajma'een, is that we need to be careful with sin. Obviously, for anyone that even takes a glimpse of or at the verses of the Holy Quran,
it's very clear. There's too many verses. Every time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ittaqullah, ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum, another type of address. U'budu rabbakum. Obey and consider yourselves to be the slaves of your Lord. The slaves of the Lord are obedient to Him. Whatever He says. If He says avoid something, then we avoid them. Other verses, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ, whatever has been mentioned there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned multiple muharramat in the Holy Quran. Things that we need to avoid. Things that He has forbidden us in other forms. For example, لَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, you should not be backbiting one another. You shouldn't be speaking what you know, the ill, the wrong, the fault that you have seen in your brother or your sister in private. You should not bring that to the public arena and tell others about what you saw. لَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. You should not be doing that. There's plenty more. We have a lot of these forbiddances in the Holy Quran, in the sayings of the Prophet, in the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us over and over, be careful. In the Quran, as I said, the words like Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum. Plenty of verses as such. Or in the ahadith, the wording that we have, one of them, I've already mentioned one of the previous nights, Al-wara', wara' an maharimillah. Be careful not to commit the sins. What I would like to mention tonight is to speak a little bit about understanding why this is so important. Well, sometimes the way we look at these addresses, the way we look at these statements, the way we look at these verses, these words of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, is that, okay, don't do this, don't do that. It sometimes may seem, or we may start on our part, feeling irritated by it. Why are so many things haram? Why do I have to avoid this? Why do I have to avoid that? So many different things that I need to avoid. And because of that, we may not start taking those statements as seriously as we should. We don't take them as important. The way we look at them, the way we see them, we see that God has limited us. I want to enjoy something. He said, don't have this, don't have that, don't drink, don't fornicate, don't all these, the list of muharramat. Why are these muharramat there? What is the effect? What is the benefit? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves the way the Quran reminds us. The Quran tells us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just forbid things out of the blue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say this is forbidden, avoid it out of the blue. He doesn't do that. In fact, when people attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has forbidden things out of the blue without justification, I've mentioned one of them before. The Quran says the pagan Arabs, the Jahil Arabs before Islam, they made this law for themselves that the animals that they were able to kill properly according to their own standards, the meat of that was only for men. The better parts of that were only for men. Women had no share of that. That's a forbiddance. That's out of the blue. That's unjustified. That's ridiculous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did I make that haram? I don't make those things haram. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. The Quran tells us this. What God forbids are fawahish. Fawahish means ugly deeds, ugly acts. They're ugly. They're despicable. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. The ones that are obviously wrong. Killing and murdering. taking the life of an innocent soul, that's very ugly. We can see مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. There are certain things that we don't see. Unfortunately, the layers of jahl, the layers of ignorance that have formed, have caused people to start considering things and acts that are extremely ugly. That's completely fine. Fornication is seen as completely fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Adultery, you should. They encourage in the movies, in the culture here, you're encouraged to accept a female having an extramarital affair. That should be perfectly fine. You shouldn't feel bad about that. People are supposed to write about that, explain in such eloquent words that you're just wondering what ridiculous thing is this, that this affair of this individual is being put in this type of language and then distributed, spread, and the people of the world are supposed to see this, and then what are you supposed to feel about that? They make you start feeling like this is perfectly fine. People do it, it's fine. Drinking, which is very ugly. Look at the way the packaging of all these different alcoholic beverages. You can't find any nice beverages packed as good as these trash and garbage drinks that are there for intoxicating people. And the worse they get, the better they're packed. Beer is not packed as some of those really hardcore spirits like vodka and whatever else. I don't know what they have there. It's not my area of expertise. But these fawahish are made so presentable, so nice, that you start to think, what is the problem? You know, what's people drink it? Yeah, they're drinking it, and there doesn't seem to be problems with them. I mean, look at it. You have the most advanced technologies, sciences, gadgets, and modern cities, and what have you, and they're all drinking. All these cars were designed by people who were every weekend going to the club or bar or whatever, drinking, going crazy with that stuff. And it's made to seem it's fine, it's okay. The uglier deeds that are being made to seem they're fine, they're okay. A marriage of two men, which is so ugly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a marriage, but an affair that became common amongst a people, the people of Prophet Lut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroyed that nation, including the wife of Prophet Lut, because she was simply okay with that. That ugly deed has been brought to a state that you are supposed to feel perfectly fine if a guy tells you, my husband is this or that or whatever. And this is where we have come. That these obvious, evident, ugly deeds have been made to seem that they're not ugly at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ. If God makes something haram, it is an ugly deed. It's ugly, it's filthy. It brings filth to the human being, to the heart of the human being, to the life of the human being, to the society of the human being, to this material life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids things because of that, not because He just wants you not to have fun with things. There is ugliness. It's just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا ظَهَرَ وَمَا بَطَنَ. There's certain things you can't tell for whatever reason. Sometimes the people have made things that they also knew. 20 years ago, everybody considered it disgusting. Now, if you use that word, they have a problem. Everybody seems to have a problem with that. Over the course of 20, 30 years, everything seems to have changed all of a sudden. Whether we understand it or not, there is ugliness to the deed, to the act, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from it because of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you are better than to do that. Out of respect for us, He's given these forbiddances, avoid this, avoid that. And if a person starts avoiding the haram, whatever it is, in terms of occupation, making money, in terms of gender interactions, in terms of controlling the lust that's there, and controlling anger, food, whatever it is, if a human being starts to practice that, the purity that comes, the tahara that comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the famous verse that we're all familiar with regarding the Ahlul Bayt, if you look at the entirety of the verse, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. This has been mentioned to be a verse stating in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended the tahara, the purity of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, which the ahadith have made clear. It's Fatima to Zahra, salamullahi alayha, the daughter of the Prophet, the son-in-law, Ali ibn Abi Talib of the Prophet, and the grandchildren of the Prophet, Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn, and the progeny of Imam al-Husayn. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. However, if you look at that verse, that's the end of a verse. If you look at the whole verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about certain rules, certain restrictions He's putting and He's giving that may seem to be a difficulty that He's giving the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. And of course, that beginning part is referring to all of those in the house of the Prophet, not only the ones that were mentioned. And this is, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ. What God wants out of these is your tatheer, your purity, your purification. You won't be able to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the slightest bit, even if you wanted to. None of us can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid us of these things only because of ourselves, to bring purity to us. Once the soul starts getting purified, then you'll start seeing the real pleasures of a human being, not an animal in the form of a human being. Animals take pleasure in the same way that human beings that act as animals take pleasure in. They eat, they have sexual pleasure, they have these different things that they take pleasure in. Human beings that act like animals, they have that as well. If a person, a human being, is purified, the pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, even in those areas, is more than the pleasure that a person who is not abiding by these rules, who is not purified, who does not avoid haram to purify themselves, the pleasure that a believer that refrains from them has in those same areas is more than the ones that a non-purified person has. That's the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in forbidding us of whatever He has. There's no other reason whatsoever helping the Prophet, helping anybody else, helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many times in the Holy Quran, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. If you do good, it's for yourself. If you do bad, it's for yourself. You're not going to hurt anyone else. No one else. Absolutely no one else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely not. No other human being either. The only person you're hurting is yourself. If you do wrong, and if you do good, the only person you're benefiting is yourself. You're not helping the angels, you're not helping the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt, you're not helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're only and only and only helping yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. He's needless. He's needless, and He's Hamid. He's already praiseworthy. Whether you do this or you don't, it's not going to change anything about Him. Sometimes getting these things straight in our minds is important. Shaitan comes in at times and tries to convince us that we should rethink that, even temporarily, just to get us to commit. If you look at the story of Adam and Eve, salamullah alayhima, all of our great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents, mother and father of humanity, Adam and Hawa. If you look at the story that God has mentioned many times in the Holy Quran about them in the Jannah, the garden that they were in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have anything you want, just don't take from this one item. Okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's for your own good, don't have it. Shaitan went to them and said, this is, I believe it's in Surah Al-A'raf, one of those larger chapters of the Quran. I think it's A'raf, I could be wrong on that. One of the times that Allah tells us this story, Shaitan tells them, according to the verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited you and prevented you from taking that because he didn't want you to become malakain or for you to become Khalid and to stay here for good. Okay, one of these two. If you have it, you're going to become an angel. God didn't want you to become an angel. Or if you have it, you're going to stay in this garden forever, for eternity. God didn't want you to stay here. Look at the deception and the shrewdness of Shaitan, Iblis. He said the exact opposite. God told him not to have that because he had designed it as such. If you take that, Adam, Eve, if you take some of that, you consume it, you eat it, you're not going to be able to stay here. Iblis went and told them the exact opposite. Told them, God told you not to have this because he didn't want you to stay here for eternity. He didn't want you to stay here for good. And then, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا أَنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He swore to God, he said, I swear to God, that I'm only doing this for your own good. It has nothing to do with me, it's for your own good. Iblis does this. God tells us in the Quran, this is what Iblis does. God said, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. I've only made wrong, ugly deeds haram on you. Things that are bad for you. Iblis comes and says, maybe it's not so bad. Why did God make this haram? Why did the maraja make this haram? Maraja don't make anything haram. Maraja are simply trying their best to understand what the verses of the Quran and what the ahadith say in terms of halal and haram. I'm presenting that to you. That's it. Why did the ulama make this haram? Why did the maraja make this? Who said this is haram? Shaitan comes in those ways. Makes us doubt. And then, God forbid, the shayateen of ins. I remember a number of times hearing that, yeah, scientists, doctors say wine is good for your heart if you have a certain amount of it. La'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. The Quran says there is manafi', there are some benefits, but the ithm that it has, the wrong that it has, it's a combination, has some ingredients, some effects that are good, but then there's a lot of bad effects to it. Overall, it's bad. God doesn't deny. Of course, I don't think those comments are true, but the Quran tells us, we don't need to refer to anyone else. If you find something that may be a benefit to some act, well, Allah already told us there is some, but the evil in it, the wrong in it is greater. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all-knowing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا خَبِيرًا. He's always been the knowledgeable, the most aware of you, your makeup, how you're made, how everything else is made, what the connections and combinations, what the different ingredients do to you. He knows all of that. He has known that. He's always, He made it. We have to make sure we remind ourselves. And this includes everything. Now, I gave some simple, basic examples that inshallah none of us are dealing with, but plenty of others. I'll give you another example. One of the rules that we have that inshallah doesn't apply to at least too many of us, it does happen. In the context of divorce, one of the clear-cut Islamic rulings that we have is that everyone that works, the money they take is theirs. If a husband works, his money is his. Of course, he needs to support his family, his wife and children, or his wives and children. He's got to take care of them, right? If the wife works, and by the way, Islam does not say the wife shouldn't work. And Islam does not say that the husband can stop the wife from working. There's some rules there that need to be understood, but I wanted to clarify that's not an Islamic teaching there. Anyhow, if the wife works, the money she earns is hers. This time she doesn't have any responsibility to pay for any bills. All right, her money is hers. Now, in the context of marriage, the rule and the culture and the law here apparently is different. You're going to be making money and both of you are going to be paying for the bills. And according to Islam, that's not how it works. The guy has got to pay for the bills. All right, that's in the context of marriage. Once, God forbid, things go sour and you want to separate and divorce, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everyone keeps what they had. It's theirs. If the man worked, he had money, he had a house, whatever he had, it's his. He's got to keep it. If the wife had worked, if she had any money, she keeps hers. Now, if what happens is that a wife has decided not to work. Her things are being taken care of. Her bills are being paid. She has a house. Everything's taken care of. She doesn't want to work. She wants to raise the kids and so on and so forth. Then something happens. Unfortunately, they can't continue living together. They separate. Islam's teaching is his money is his money. You guys are going to divorce. She doesn't have a right to his belongings. The law here is different. Women start having issues. People start having issues. Of course, when people themselves are going through divorce, usually the guy doesn't have an issue with that. He actually wants to push and make sure nothing goes to her. Unfortunately, people are bitter at the time of divorce. They're not very happy about it. And so it's the wife that's very unhappy about that. Regardless of what the guy feels like and so on, this is an Islamic ruling. No guy made this. This is Allah's rule. Allah has mentioned it through the verses of the Quran and the words of the Prophet and the words of the Ahlul Bayt. This is a rule. This is what God has said. The law that God has put there is for your good. There's a really nice verse, a series of verses. We need to go through these and understand what Islam says, what Allah has given us. This guidance that He's given us, we don't look at it. This is the month of the Quran. We should be looking at these verses more, brothers and sisters, thinking about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. If they end up parting ways and divorcing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them, both of them. What we forget, Allah is Huwa Razzaq Al-Aleem. He's the one that gives sustenance. I don't give myself sustenance. Nobody gives himself sustenance. It's not our boss that gives us, not our work, it's not our occupation. That work, that occupation, that paycheck, everything is in Allah's control. He provides. The second He wants, you're out of there and you won't have a job. Whenever God wants, you will get it. Whenever God doesn't want, you won't get it. He is Ar-Razzaq. And He says, if you part ways, يُغْنِلَّ كُلًّا, if I remember, وَإِن تَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِلَّ كُلًّا مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for each of them, make them needless. The husband or the ex-husband, the ex-wife, each of them in terms of finances, in terms of a spouse, all of this is the rizq of Allah. Allah will provide. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not caring for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one that provides. And He has said this is the rule. He keeps what He has made. If He wants to help out for various reasons, that's fine. But you can't force Him and split everything 50-50. So the reason, let's not lose the point here, the reason why Allah makes these rules is for our benefit. It is for the benefit of the wife that she is not supposed to take from what belongs to the husband. It's for the benefit of the wife. In أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. If you go, you as the ex-wife, if you go by God's law and not ask or take anything according to the courts of this country or any court against God's rule, if you don't take any of His, that will affect you positively. It's good for you, not for your husband. If your husband wants to be a jerk and he was a jerk and he's a horrible person or whatever, that's his problem. You're doing things because of Allah and what He says is hasanah, what He says is amalun salih, what He says is right, and that will only benefit you. Okay, his money cannot benefit him unless Allah wants it. If he's a good mu'min, Allah is doing, he's doing the right thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide for him. And if you're trying to be a good mu'mina, Allah is going to give you the rewards of that. It's good for you, not for God, not for men, not for that husband of yours. And all the laws of Islam are such, inshallah, we get a deeper understanding of that and not allow shaitan to come in and to convince us otherwise, God forbid, cause us to go against divine teachings, inshallah. We ask Allah, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, by the rights of the Imam of our time, that He hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of us become true and close companions of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause. We ask Him to help especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. And we ask Allah to relieve all of us from the difficulties that have come because of this virus. And we ask Allah to provide the cure for this illness to the believers so they can share it with the world, inshallah. And the world can go back to normal life, inshallah. We ask Allah, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Min Nabiya wa Alih, Rahimallah man qara'a al-Fatiha ma'a al-Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I apologize, last night I forgot to mention, and tonight I was about to mention. Thank you, Abbas, for giving me the names. Let's all recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the following marhumin: Khawaja Ali Safdar, Zahra Banu, Agha Faisal, I think, Agha Faisal Hassan, Sayyida Begum, Nigat Parveen, Zain al-Abidin, Zahra Abbas and her parents and brother, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmid Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sallu 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala Muhammad.